Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we considered how God gave his people an object lesson in the Passover. And it was important to look at this object lesson because that object lesson helps us to understand what God is giving in the Lord's Supper. It certainly was teaching the people for a period of 1,400 years as they continued to practice, to celebrate the Passover, what God was going to do on a Passover night much later when Jesus, the Lamb of God, came and gave himself in his body, in his blood, to be the once for all perfect sacrifice for that lamb, for he himself to be the lamb who would be eaten week after week, or even day after day, for people to receive the body and blood of this one perfect lamb. Tonight, we are going to talk about the benefits of the Lord's Supper. What does God give to you and do for you through this supper? What are you getting when you take the Lord's Supper? And it's helpful, as we consider this topic, to actually go back to the Lord's Supper and think through again what our Lord is teaching. Because he does teach something about what you receive, the benefits that you're getting when you take the Lord's Supper, when we go back to the Passover. So let's go back, and to do this, I want you to put yourself in the place of those firstborn sons. Now, some of us are firstborn sons, so it might be a little easier. But not everyone. But still, consider that you're the one who is in danger here at the Lord's Supper. Consider that you are a child, perhaps a teenager, living with your parents. You have been a slave. You work day in and day out for Pharaoh, slaving away in the hot Egyptian sun. And you want God to relieve you of this, just as your family, your parents, and your ancestors, perhaps too, have wanted to be relieved of this slavery. And God has sent Moses, and God has sent 9 plagues upon Egypt. And yet still, Pharaoh says no. It looks like you're going to continue to be slaves for a long time. And in fact, things have not gotten any better. Things have actually gotten worse for you because Pharaoh has laid more work on you and on your family and required that you still have the same product at the end of the day, that you still produce the same number of bricks, but you have to get a lot more done to make that happen. But then you received word that God is going to send one final plague, and he's going to bring you out. This is going to be the end. God is going to take you, and he's going to take your family, he's going to take all of your relatives out of Egypt. Now there is hope of freedom. And what's more, God has promised that he's going to take you to this wonderful land, a land flowing with milk and honey that he promised to your ancestors hundreds and hundreds of years before. 400 years before, some of them were in that land, and now finally, you might have the opportunity to see it. God is going to send that one final plague. But there's a catch. You could die before you even leave home. Before you leave the people of Egypt and leave slavery behind, you could die. Because God's going to come through the land tonight. On the 14th day of the month, and he's going to kill every firstborn son. And it's only after that terrible plague that Pharaoh will send your family out. And you're a firstborn son. You're in danger of dying in the next several hours. These could be the last hours of your life. But there is hope. God spoke to Moses and told all of his people, like you, to take a one-year-old lamb without blemish on the 10th day of the month and keep it until the 14th day of the month, today, and then take that blood, put it on the doorposts and above the door, and roast the body of the lamb inside the house and eat it. So now, whatever other plans you had for this evening have been canceled. There's no going out with friends. There are no practical jokes, no donkey rides, nothing else tonight. You are going to be butchering a lamb. And as the firstborn son who's in danger of dying, you want to make sure that that lamb gets butchered. And you want to make sure that that blood gets on the doorpost. No matter how much you might dislike painting, no matter how much you might dislike the blood and the butchering, you're going to make sure it happens tonight. And then, when you get inside the house, no matter how much you might dislike roasting any kind of meat or doing the cooking, you're going to make sure it happens tonight. And no matter how much you might dislike lamb, you don't like the taste, you don't like the smell, whatever, you're going to eat it tonight. You're going to make sure that you have that lamb, because that lamb is the difference between life and death. Because death is going to literally come knocking at your door tonight, going to be at your doorstep. And it's only because of the blood of the lamb that God will pass over. That when God sees the blood of the lamb, he says and he promises that because that lamb died, you don't have to die. You can have life. And not only life, but freedom from slavery, release from bondage. A whole new life in the promised land is what you're looking forward to. Because that lamb is going to die. So you're going to make sure that that lamb dies. You're going to make sure that you cook that lamb. You're going to make sure that you eat that lamb. And that you are ready to go with your sandals on, with your belt fastened. Ready to leave the land of Egypt, ready to leave slavery and to leave it alive. When death is knocking at our doorstep, we want to do whatever is necessary to make sure that we avoid it. We want our lives to be preserved, and those firstborn sons would have wanted to make sure that their lives, too, were preserved. And so God, when he came through, he did pass over. But those firstborn sons would have known in a very real way what is the benefit of this meal that they're eating. The benefit of having this lamb. It meant life. And we as Christians, all the more, especially as we consider that, and then consider that that was all really meant to teach us about the one true Lamb who was going to come and give himself on Passover as the Passover Lamb in place of not just the firstborn sons, but all the other sons and all the other daughters, so that they could live, so that you could live eternally. Not just to be saved from temporal death here on this earth, but to have everlasting life. So that the angel of eternal death passes over your door. And that you have life and have it abundantly. This is what our Passover lamb came to do. With the benefits that he gives. And the benefits that he gives in his supper. When he says, now take me, the real lamb, the real Passover lamb, and eat me. This is my body given to you to eat. This is my blood given to you to drink so that you may have life. You may be rescued from death. And if we truly understand the danger that we are in, like those firstborn sons would have understood, if we truly understand the danger we are in, we would run to this supper and eagerly partake of it, because we know that it is the difference between life and death. And if we also understood then that the death that we are facing is not just temporal death, but eternal death, we would all the more run to it. If you are diagnosed with cancer, you are going to go to the treatments that are prescribed for you in hopes that you will have life, in hopes that your life will be lengthened and preserved. If we know that we have the cancer of sin, then we will run to where the treatment is and where our Lord promises for sure that this treatment, the body and blood of the Son of God, does pay for our sins. That it purifies us from all sin. That it makes us right with God. It reconciles us with Him so that we can be with Him forever. Open in your hymnals to the page that I asked you to have ready, to page 330. Page 330 in your hymnals. On the right-hand column on that page, there is the final question in a series of questions that can be used to prepare to go to the Lord's Supper. And I encourage you to use them. And this last question gets at why we should run to our Lord for His benefits. It gets at why we should see, or what the danger is that we are really in. And it asks, what should we do if we really don't have any awareness of our need for the Lord's Supper, and we don't have any hunger and thirst for the sacrament? It'd be like asking the firstborn sons on the Passover night, what if you're really not aware of your need to be saved from death? Well, just consider what God has planned to do and what He has already done. He said He would bring these other plagues, and He brought them. So if God is going to do that, then you should pay attention to what He has said He is going to do here. Well, we too need to hear these warnings and to hear these instructions of what we are to do if we somehow have forgotten the great need that we have, and are not hungry and thirsty for the gift that our Lord gives us in the sacrament. First, the answer says, to such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Then he should believe what the Scriptures say of it in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. You should pinch yourself and see, am I still in a mortal body? Am I still in a sinful body where I am struggling against a sinful nature? And consider what the Scriptures say about it. That sinful nature wars against my new nature. That sinful nature was born, turned away from God, wanting to go away from Him, and would take me to hell if I decided to give in to my sinful nature and follow the desires of my sinful nature. If we understand the great danger that we ourselves, that inside of us is posed to our salvation, we would be eager to run to the Lord's Supper, because we know that our Lord strengthens our new nature that was given us in baptism, strengthens us for this battle against our sinful nature, strengthens our faith in our Lord, and assures us of His love and care. That our Lord Himself comes into us to forgive us and give us life. But that's not all. Not only should we pinch ourselves and see if we're still in the flesh, but we should also look around us and see if we're still in the world. And if we are indeed still alive and still on this planet, still in this world, there is no shortage of temptation here now. No shortage of enticements to other things that might seem so much more attractive, so much better, so much more interesting, and that can pull us away from our Lord. And so we say, well, then all the more I need to come to my Lord for His medicine, for the body and blood that was shed to pay for my sins, that purified me, gives me life and strengthens me to resist these temptations. And then, the third point is to consider that you also have the devil around you. And this one we cannot see, but we go by what the scriptures say, that the devil is actually tempting people. He wants to keep unbelievers in his kingdom, and he wants you right now to be in his kingdom, back in his kingdom. And he is lying. He is masquerading as an angel of light. He is prowling around seeking whom he may devour, because he wants you back in his kingdom. And so you need the food that our Lord gives. You need the truth of his word. You need to see again and again that our Lord has died for you, and you need to have him and his body and blood in you to strengthen and keep you for the fight that you face each and every day, each and every hour, against the devil and his temptations. This is the danger that we are in. No, we may not have been there on that Passover night when the angel of death was going to come through and when the firstborn son was going to die. But you still are facing great dangers. You and I are still mortal. And we never know when death may come to our doorstep. And we are also beset with temptations within and outside of us as well. And for that reason, God's people, his children, his troops, his soldiers, need to be strengthened with our Lord himself as he gives us his forgiveness in his body and his blood. And also as he feeds us with his word and his absolution. But we should run to have as many of our Lord's gifts as he gives. His word, his body and blood, his forgiveness, so that we, his people, are strengthened for this battle. And so that we also look at the great gift we are given, the great gift we've been given on the cross and that's distributed to us, and look forward to the day when we are in the promised land and we are out of the wilderness of this world and we are with our Lord forever at the great wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.